To keep going, amen. Let me see if y'all remember what book we were in. Who remembers? Nobody. Galatians, amen. Y'all gonna be all right. Galatians chapter 6, if you will, please. And you come down again, we're gonna start a little reading at verse 14, and then we'll get right on into it, amen. New Living Translation says, as for me, may I never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of that cross, my interest in this world has been crucified, and the world's interest in me has also died. It doesn't matter whether we have been circumcised or not. What counts is whether we have been transformed into a new creation. May God's peace and mercy be upon all who live by this principle. They are the new people of God. Amen. As I said last week, I want to finish talking about getting by ain't getting better. And that's what we want to do. We want to get better. As I said to you last week, as we looked at the principles of the preaching moment, it is important for each of us to make that declaration and that determination that we're going to stop just getting by. God didn't make you just to get by. God made you so that from your fallen state, you would get better. This is what Paul said to the church at Rome, and it sets us up for regeneration, restoration, renewal, and redemption. He says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, we take that rather lightly in the church now because we don't look at sin like that in our redemptive state of mind, because many of us would rather try to tell ourselves we have done thing wrong. And when you keep telling yourself you haven't done anything wrong, it's going to be hard for you to ever do anything right. Paul says that, you've been doing all right. You've been living everything that Paul is saying to the church is to a live church. I mean, they've been doing all right. In fact, Paul gives them an inside illustration of his own life moving from getting by to getting better when he says, listen, I came from a good family. We had a little money. I went to a good school. I had a pretty decent name. I was doing all right. But I met Jesus. Okay, I told y'all this part too. We shouldn't have to start all over. But I met Jesus. And that's what you ought to be able to say in your life as you start getting better. You ought to be able to say to folks, oh, I was doing all right. I mean, I was fine. I was getting along very well. But I met Jesus. And when I met Jesus, I realized that all of that stuff that I thought was really so wonderful was nothing. All I was doing was getting by. But I'm going to get better now. And I'm going to get better because it is the will of God for me. Amen. Nudge your neighbor and say, listen, I'm going to get selfish just for a moment, but it's the will of God for me that I get better. Yes, and neighbor, before you roll your eyes at me and think I'm stuck up and sophomoric, until I get better, I can't help you get better. And if I can't help you get better, neither one of us ain't going to be better. Everybody in here right now ought to want to get better. Amen. I mean, you ought to want to. I'm not saying you're a bad person. I'm not saying you're unholy, you're unrighteous. I ain't got time for all that. What I'm saying is, as well as things may be, there's still room to get better. Amen. Amen. From the pulpit to the door, we can all get better. But you got to want to get better. And so Paul says, please understand, again, there are external things that people do to pretend to be better or to suggest they're better, but that's not the real deal. He said, no, that's not it. He says, if you really want to get better, there's got to be some transformation. There's got to be some God work in you. Amen. Greater is he that is in me. Sounds like I'm going to get better. Therefore laid up for me. Sounds like I'm going to get better. And the redeemed of the Lord. Sounds like I'm going to get better. Well, it's time for us to stop living by sound bites and start living the living. I mean, that's as simple as I can make it. It's time for the church to start living the living. Jesus says this.
I'll be done.
I told you it wasn't going to take long. Part two. Jesus says, I came that you would have life more abundant. Nudge your neighbor and say, that sounds promising there. That you don't have to just get by, but you need to start living the living. Your life in Christ Jesus is your best life.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, your best life. And Paul says to the church, he said, listen, it's all right if you want to go for circumcision. It's okay. If you want to do those things that are external, if you want to have that look, he said, but what really matters is when you have been changed like God. Amen. Changed like God. So how, Pastor, again, do we do that? Well, as I said before, brothers and sisters, just by virtue of the fact that you came to church today is a pretty good indicator that you might be on to something. Am I right about it?
Yes, sir.
I mean, just that the fact that a whole lot of folk decided it might rain. I ain't going. It's a bad forecast. But you decided, no, I'm going.
Yes,
I'm going to get on down to the old church house because
yes,
I could use a little churching up. That's the way Grandma you said. You look churching up. So I've come today to get better.
Yes.
Amen. There's power in the blood. It's going to make me better. And so you said, Pastor, you'd give us three things and an out. Well, again, the first thing that you can do to get better is be more decisive. Be more decisive. And that's a problem for some of us because we can't make up our mind. One Sunday morning, we love the Lord with all our heart, mind, and soul. Next Sunday morning, we're going to have to cut the grass. I ain't going. One Sunday morning, we leading the choir, leading the prayer, leading the praise. But next Sunday, we got something else to do. One Thursday, we promised him that I would serve him till I die. But next Thursday, got something else to do. Some of us don't make our minds up too good. Some of us are little wafflers. You know, we talked about that last week. I don't want to start no trouble. But I do believe that the first Waffle House was opened by church people. Amen. But you got to be more decisive. Now, here's what Jesus says about being better through decisiveness. You've read it before, Matthew chapter 6. It's not hard to get this one, but I'm going to give it to you so you can be better through decisiveness. What does he say? He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now, let's slow down because we don't need much more of your time. It's real early anyway. Seek first. Here's the survey question. How many of you are that decisive that every day of your life, and notice he didn't say on Sunday, seek first.
Yes, sir.
I think Jesus is saying every day, God's got to be first.
Yes, sir.
All right, some of y'all with me. I appreciate that. Thank you. Every day, that means Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and on Sunday, seek first. So let's finish the survey. How many of you, don't raise your hand, but how many of you can honestly say that you're that decisive that before you make a move to the left or to the right, before you step out of your bedchamber, before you go anywhere, you have considered first the will of God. Seek first. God's got to be first. Jesus is saying, if you really want to have a good life, if you really want to have a great life, God's got to be first. And they said to him, well, Lord, I know, but that's, he said, no, your daddy knows you have need of those things. You do know God's got it. Amen. Some of y'all don't know that. Well, look at your name, tell your neighbor, God's got it. God has to be first in everything. And I'll tell you now that when you make God first in everything, everything gets better.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Be more decisive. Be more kingdom-minded. Be, you can't sing about keeping him high and lifted up and he's not first. You can't say that you're going to carry the bloodstained banner. You can't say that you're a soldier servant of the Lord and he's not first. You've got to make up your mind. You've got to be steadfast and unmovable. You've got to make up your mind. You've got to make up your mind. You've got to make up your mind that God is first. Got to be more decisive. And then he said, not only that, but when you make up your mind to seek first, you got to make sure you stay forever.
Yes,
seek first, stay forever. You know, last week I got excited and I sang my little song right on that part right there. But I'm telling you now that that's what Paul is talking about. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, a lot of people, a lot of preachers, you know, like to use that as the funeral mantra. But no, it's something else in there. When he talks about being steadfast, he said, listen, beloved brethren, you're going to have to make sure that you stay.
Yeah.
You got to sign a lifelong lease with God and say, I ain't going nowhere. Doesn't matter what happens. And he writes to the church again. He said, I'm going to send you a backup text. He said, listen, and I'm convinced that nothing shall be able to separate me from the love that is in Christ Jesus. Notice he put Christ first, kingdom. He said, and I'm in love with him.
Yeah.
Y'all was singing that song earlier, I'm a friend of God. No, I'm in love with God. I'm a lover of God. God ain't just my friend, because I got some friends that don't know how to act right. But God is God. And he said, I'm staying right here. I'm unmovable. I'm planted. You know that old song when you sing, just like a tree planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. I'm staying forever.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Too many church rabbits. What a church rabbit. People who hop from thing to thing. Hop from church to church, hop from committee to committee, hop from organization to organization, hop from mindset to mindset. Well, but Paul said, you got to be steadfast, unmovable. Got to stay right there.
Yes, sir.
He said, because what you're doing for the Lord is going to pay off. Payday coming, but it ain't going to be in cash, bonds, or intangible things like that.
Well,
it's going to be in life.
Yeah.
I made up my mind. And too many of us in the body of Christ, see some of y'all looking around now trying to get a second opinion. You don't need no second opinion. You need to know that you are seeking first.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
And staying forever.
Yeah.
I ain't leaving.
Come on now.
I ain't going nowhere. He said, beloved brethren, it's always, always.
Yeah.
Some of us apparently don't know what always means. But I can encourage you today, always is a good thing.
Yeah, it is.
Because if you want your God to be from everlasting to everlasting, you got to stay always. If you want him to be Alpha and Omega, which he is, you're going to have to stay always. If you want God to give you a rich welcome in the kingdom, you've got to have stayed always. In fact, you can't be like those five virgins who decided they didn't have to get ready. They didn't have to prepare. They just figured, well, when the time comes, we'll rely on five other people. No, mama said, you got to stand on your own bottom. You got to be ready to stay always. The Lord may tarry in coming, but you got to stay always. You got to be where you ought to be when you ought to be. So when he comes, you can go with him. But it's because you stayed always. You got to stay, he said, and it's because you love him. Know that your Lord's labor. In other words, he said, now you got to keep working. You got to stay on the job. Amen. Some of you will never retire from the civilian market because you ain't stayed nowhere long enough. Amen. Some of y'all going to get to the age of 67 or whatever that number is, but they keep moving it. But if you get there and you're going to send your little letter down to the administration, they're going to look at your record and say, it's rather tattered here. You didn't stay nowhere long enough. You say, well, can I combine all of it? You can't do that in the kingdom. You got to have stayed from the day you got there to the day he called you home. God don't have no early retirement. Amen. Y'all getting quiet, but you got to stay forever. This is my life. And Paul says, beloved brethren, don't let nobody pull you out of this. Told Timothy, he said, don't let nobody fool you. Well, told Titus, don't let them despise you because you're young. Start young and stay till you're old. Worship the Lord on your cane, leaning on your stick. Tell the young folk, hold me up there while I lift up my hand and praise God. Amen. Then he said, you got to be more decisive that your song is faithful. That's music ministry work right there.
Yes, sir.
We sing song that we ain't faithful to.
Come on, Pastor.
But your song ought to be faithful.
Yes.
When you sing song like we are soldiers in the army, you ought to look like a soldier. When you sing songs like that I promise him that I, you ought to keep your promise. When you sing, see, we don't sing them old songs. Them Kirk Franklin songs and Ty Tribbett songs ain't going to get all us into heaven. That Mahalia Jackson and Jane Cleveland ministry going to get us into heaven. Because you got to keep your promise unto God and your song ought to be faithful. When we sang the old song, this is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long, that sounds faithful.
Yes, sir.
And your song ought to be faithful.
Yeah.
And that's why the Bible says, oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Why? Because he's done some marvelous thing. Anybody know the Lord has done some marvelous? Look at your name and say, my song is my song. I sing it my way, but I'm singing about God. I may not sing it like you sing it. I may not have the words you have, but this is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior. My song. And it's going to be faithful. Why? Because it's not just my Sunday song. It's my everyday song. It ain't my performance, it's my declaration. It ain't that I'm showing up, but I'm showing up because this is my song.
Yes, sir.
That I feel the Spirit deep down in, it's my song.
Yeah.
It is faith. God can count on me. As I said, Jesus is the best thing that ever happened to me. And that's what makes me more decisive because I know my song.
Yes, sir.
And then you got to be better because you're determined. What are you saying? The Lord said he'll never leave us and he won't forsake us. You ever met people who are determined?
Come on, Pastor.
Some of y'all ain't been nowhere. I mean, you ever met people that just determined?
Yeah.
Old folk put it this way. Oh, you was just bound and determined to have your way. You just couldn't rest till you got it.
Well,
remember stuff like that? And then they look at it and say, now that you got it, look at you.
No.
Oh, you had to have him, didn't you? Mm-hmm. The old folk be rubbing it in on you like that, you know. Oh, yeah, yeah, that was your rising and your falling. You couldn't even go to work without having love on your mind. Now look at you. You stand there, you want to say some stuff back to your mama, but you won't because your daddy's standing there looking at you. Yeah, go ahead and get smart with her. But you are bound, and determined people are interesting people. Jesus was determined.
Well,
disciples looked at Jesus and said, you know, we can't go back down there. We've been barred. We were told if we come back down there, they're going to kill you.
Uh-huh.
Jesus looks at them with a spiritual smile of confidence and said, we must go. And they said, Lord, you go ahead. Then no, they didn't say that. But you know, some of y'all, that's something y'all would have told Jesus. Some of y'all would have told Jesus, if you go ahead and you make it back, I'll be right here holding it down. Lord, I'm going to start a church right here. You go ahead. No, you got to be determined so you can get better.
Yes, sir.
Again, it doesn't take much. Look at the church today. Some folk heard it was going to rain and heard it was going to be a storm. And they said, well, you know, I better not get out there in the rain. I'm just getting over a little something. How many know it's always a little something?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You know, they were determined not to go.
Yeah.
And then when the sun came out, they said, well, I hadn't laid nothing out yet. No, you got to be determined. Here's what he said. He said, I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. How many of you know that you have messed up so bad that God should have cut you off a long time ago? Where y'all at? Raise your hand. Let me see. Everybody, come on, don't be fooling me. But God said, no, that's all right. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. I'm determined to stay in love with you. I'm determined to see you through. That's why the writer said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken. Why? Because God is determined to see you through. How many of you ever had that, I ain't going to make it, and God made you make it anyhow? How many ever had that, this ain't going to happen, I'm dying, but God said, live anyhow? How many of you have ever had that, I just can't take another step, but God said, run on anyhow? How many of you thought you were going to die there, but God said, get up, because he was determined that you make it? You sat there and cried, folded up your tent, and God said, get up. This ain't where you die.
Yeah.
This ain't where you give up at. Put that white flag away.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Look at your name. Tell me, the only reason I'm here,
because
he pressed me. He was determined that I make it. He said, I'm not going to leave you. People going to leave you. Writer said, if my mother and father forsake me, the Lord. Some of y'all act like y'all ain't read that before. People act funny, don't they? People change on you, don't they? But the Lord is my very present help. The Lord is my strength and my salvation. The Lord is my light of my life. The Lord is my bridge over my troubled water. The Lord is my water when I'm thirsty. The Lord is my balm in Gilead. People come and go, but the Lord won't leave me. He stayed right there. Even when I was ashamed of myself, he tapped me on my shoulder and said, I'm still here. He said, I'm not going to leave you. And then Paul comes along and says, you got to be better determined and keep pressing. There's an old song we sing in the church. It says, I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Tell your neighbor, you ought to be making progress through your press.
Yeah, too many of y'all are ready to sit on the sideline and call a timeout and take a break. You got to be determined. That's why the church is always procrastinating, putting stuff on the old business. All our new business is just dealing with old business because we've been putting off everything. We ain't pressing, ain't making no progress. He said, listen, you better be determined. You got to be gaining. And let me tell you something. Don't reserve your gaining just to Sunday morning. Some of us ain't got nothing in us but Sunday morning. Well, Darryl Coley had a beautiful song say, when Sunday comes. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But he didn't mean just wait on Sunday. He said, when Sunday comes, we're going to really kick it off. But you got to do some stuff on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. Yeah. So when you get to Sunday. Yeah. All the old preachers, early Sunday morning. All we kept talking about is early Sunday. We forgot about doing stuff late Saturday. Because it's what you do late on Saturday that shape your early Sunday. He said, you gotta press.
You got to make some progress.
We can't be in the same place year after year. You got to move strategically, spiritually. Move with sanctification. That's why the Bible said our steps are ordered by God. We're supposed to be moving. He didn't say your seat is ordered by God. We just sit around. That's why some of us, when you come to church, sit in the same place all the time. I promise you, if you move two pews up and three slide over, you'll find a new worship spot. We sit in the same place, sit around the same people, do the same thing, and complain that nothing changes. Next Sunday, said, you know, let's see what happened. He said, you got to press. Be determined that today I'm going to get my praise on. Today is the last day I cry. Today is the last day I sit and soak about an old thing. I'm determined to get over myself. Man, I'm determined that whoever gone can stay gone. Sitting around here trying to make it spiritual. Well, you know that father went to the road every day. No, some folk, you need to make sure you tell them hit the road. Waiting on somebody to come back and fulfill you. You fulfill yourself. Walk around here like you Bill Withers singing Ain't No Sunshine Since She Gone. Let her go, fellas. Only darkness since she went away. The Lord is my light. Amen. There's some things you have to let go so you can let God. He said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Some of y'all got the gods of money, the gods of a job, the gods of a relationship. Y'all got all these gods that ain't gods. He said, listen, you better be determined. Make some progress. And then he said this. He said, you got to make sure that you are not part-time with the prophet. God got to be in every part of your life. Y'all getting quiet? I'm about finished. God got to be in every part. God should, must, has to be in every part of your life. You can't be part-time with a full-time God. He said, listen, make sure that God is with you. Surely the Lord is in every place. And you spend all your time with God. Again, all day long I've been with him. All day long I've been with Jesus. All day long I've been in worship. You want to get out of some of the rigmarole of that on-the-job foolishness? Stay all day long in worship. Stay away from the coffee machine. Stay out of the lounge. Stay out of the break room. And when you get your break, spend that time with God. You want to stay out of the foolishness? Don't answer the phone every time it rings. Let some of that foolishness go to voicemail, and rather than listen to it, just delete it. And somebody said, you get my message? You can say, no. You can be honest. You didn't get it. They might have sent it. But you do know that everything somebody sent you, you don't have to receive. All day long. I'm determined to stay in worship. I'm determined to stay in praise. Some of y'all get interrupted too easy. Some of y'all get interfered with too easy. Some of y'all get intruded upon too easily. Those are extra sub-points. I won't deliver them, but you just got the message. You let people just jump in your life uninvited. You said that, Lord, for the next 6 weeks, I'm going to do thus and thus. And you let people intrude upon that. You promised God that you were going to become a more studious student. Lord, I'm tired of pastor talking about Bible study. I'm going. For the next 8 weeks, Lord, 2 months, I'm going. And the first Thursday that somebody offer you an alternative measure, you let them have it. You said, no, I made God a promise. I'm determined. And listen, it ain't going to be easy because you have an adversary. God hears your prayers. Satan wants to hinder your prayers. Come on, let me see if I can get you to be honest. How many of you have ever made a vow to God and didn't keep it because Satan got in the mix? And Satan comes in a lot of ways. When Jesus looked at Peter and said, get behind me, that's how it is. He can come in your husband, your wife. It don't mean they bad people. Peter wasn't a bad person. But Satan got in him. And it sounded good, though. If you listen to what Peter said, it sounded good. But everything that sound good ain't spiritual. You got to be careful. And then he says, you want to get better and you want to be that transformed people, you have hope because you've been delivered. Now, this is the easy part for you because you ought to shout just because I said that. I know that decisiveness some of y'all had to think about and that determination, but I'm telling you, you've been delivered. Wait a minute. Let me see if I can help y'all. Some of y'all hesitating. Some of y'all got reservations in the slow room. Let me see if I can help you to understand you've been delivered. How you looking at me now trying to say, well, you know, how do you know I've been? You ain't dead. You, okay, y'all missed it. I'm sorry, Mrs. Scott, that wasn't grammatically correct. You are not dead because the Bible said the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, you've been delivered. You're here today because you've been delivered. You may still have some stuff to deal with, but you've been delivered. And you deal better when you've been delivered than you can deal when you're dead. Because when you're dead, the Bible says, ain't no praise from the grave. Ain't no shouting out there. But them that have been delivered. Okay, you don't hear me yet. The Bible said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Because you've been delivered, you ought to say so. Because you've been delivered, you ought to sing so. Because you've been delivered, you ought to shout so. Because you've been delivered, you ought to stay so. Because you've been delivered. I said it to you last week. I told you it was coming. How do you know, Pastor? First of all, he found you. Come on. He said, he found me. Brother Bell and Brother Banks, rather, and Sister Beth, you music people know this one. I'm sure Harmony knows that she's a music person. A couple of you other music folk know this one. There's a song that Sister Bell and Brother Banks sang. Y'all say, now who in the world is Sister Bell and Brother Banks? Well, this is the song. I was alone and idle. I was a sinner too. I heard a voice from heaven. He found me. See, you were alone and idle. You were a sinner. Come on, talk back to me. But he found you. Am I right about it? He found you. Okay, y'all, that didn't do nothing for you. How about this one? Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like he found you. Okay, how about this one? I was lost, but now I'm found. Blind, but now, tell your neighbor, he found me. And when he found me, he fixed me. Mama said he picked me up and turned me around. He told me to run on. He fixed my hands and my hands looked new. He fixed my feet and they did too. Not only did he find me, but he fixed me. Anybody want to admit you were broken? Anybody want to admit that you were tore up? But God fixed it. Mama said he's a mind regulator. Heart fixer. He fixed me. Come here, Ezekiel. Ezekiel said, Pastor, I don't want to start no trouble today, but I had an assignment that was most difficult. He said, God called me and sent me into a valley full of dry bones. God sent me out there and told me, minister to the church, preach to these valley of dry bones. And I turned around and looked at him, and he looked back at me, and I looked at him, and he looked back at me, and I looked at him, and God said, preach to the valley of dry bone. I, son of man, can these bones live again? He said, preach to the dry bone. In other words, you found them. Now let me fix them. You got to believe that God will fix you. How many believe that God will fix you? No matter what your situation, no matter how dry, no matter how desperate, no matter how damning, God will fix it for you. Anybody in here been fixed by God? Anybody in here been made new by God? Anybody been rescued from the valley? Anybody know that God is a fixing God? Come in, fix us, Lord. Because we've been delivered. And when I've been delivered, I got to say something. Come here, Bartimaeus, standing over there with your blind self. First of all, Reverend, tell them people my first name ain't blind. That Bartimaeus is my first name. Blind might have been my condition, but I know somebody. Look at your name and say, neighbor, don't let your condition become your name. Don't let your condition become your identifier. Don't let your condition become your status. You know somebody. The Bible said if you call upon the name of Jesus, the Lord will deliver. Grandma sang it this way. I know I've been changed. I've been delivered. He brought me out. Anybody know God will still bring you out? You've been delivered. And then understand, he said, listen, you got to understand that you may suffer on your way to being delivered. Y'all didn't hear me. You remember that woman, 12 long years. You remember that other sister, 18 years. But how many know that on your way to being delivered, you might have to suffer? But nudge your name and tell them this too will pass. I wish I had some folk who've been through some things in here. I wish I had somebody. Don't mind waving back at me and say, Reverend, I know exactly what you're talking about, because it ain't always been like this. I've been through some things. I've been through the fire. I've been through the flood. I've been through the storm. I've been through divorce. I've been through unemployment. I've been on the sick bed. But God brought me out. And he did it right on time. I've been delivered. The Lord will make a way. Somehow. Where must somehow folk at? Anybody in here, God did it and you don't know how he did it? You don't even know really why he did it? I'll tell you why. Because he loves you. I'll tell you how. Because he's got power. And then, I told you last thing was this. You may not have the decisiveness undertaken yet, but you're working on it. You may not have your determination solidified yet, but you're working on it. You some of y'all didn't want to shout because I told you you've been delivered because you feel like you're still in it, but you're working on it. But I told you the last thing was going to be this, that he died. And see, now, what you need to understand about him dying is that because he died, you live. But see, he ain't working on dying. He ain't trying to get it done. I heard him say, it's finished. Look at the name and say, it's over. Because he died. And because he died, I can live. You didn't get it. You didn't get it. In solitude, you might have suffered. In your sickness, you might have suffered. In your agony, you might have been anguished. But the Lord has already died. died. And when he died, watch this now. He didn't die. Probably he didn't die as a proposed issue. He didn't die as a possibility. He died with power. Y'all didn't see me. He died with, and power means, listen, I can get better. When you got power, you can change some stuff. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I feel my power coming. I feel the power to run on. I feel the power to rise up. I feel the power to resist the devil. I feel the power to reign for God. And so when God gives me power, it gives me an opportunity that I might get better. Look at another neighbor and say, neighbor, I've had my sick days. I've had some bad days, but I feel like I'm getting better. Anybody feel like getting better? And you get better not because of what folks say, not because of what doctors do, but you get better because he died. Because when he died, he brought healing. When he died, he brought restoration. When he died, he brought redemption. When he died, he rescued us. And so because he died, I think you ought to start getting better. In other words, I heard the old folks say, I feel better, so much better, since I laid my burdens down. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I told you my song is going to be faithful. And so this is my story. This is my song, that God did it what no other could do. He picked me up. He turned me around. He saved my life. I was sinking deep in sin, but God lifted me. I was alone and idle, couldn't find a friend, but there's not a friend like the lonely Jesus. Is there anybody here that calls him friend? Is there anybody here that calls him master? Anybody here that calls him savior? Anybody here that calls him Lord? Pastor, what are you saying? Call him up. When you need him, call him up. When you're lonely, call him up, because he'll make you better. Won't God make you better? Is there anybody feels better? Anybody feels better? Can you tell God thank you? He hung, bled, and died that you might get better. He went back to the Father that you might get better. I said I feel better all by myself. Some of y'all looking at me funny, but I'm not getting by. I'm getting better. Every round goes just a little bit higher. Anybody want to go higher? Say higher. Say higher. Say higher. Because I'm better. I feel better. Don't feel so tired. I think I'll run on. Don't feel so weary. I think I'll run on. I don't feel so alone. There's a great cloud of witnesses. I think I'll run on. Paul said, press toward the mark, because you're getting better. You don't have to get by. You can get better. You just got to make up your mind. Get better. Don't be average. Don't be mediocre. Don't be so-so. Get better. How do you get better? I'll tell you. Try it. And then trust it. Pastor, you took up 40 minutes of our time. That's all you had to tell us. Try him. Trust him. And let us go home. Don't be taking about time with that easy preaching. Just tell us what we need to know. Okay, try him. And then trust him. That's it? No, Pastor. Give us the other one. And when you sign on, you got to stay on. You know, talking about sign me up for the Christian Jubilee, write my name on the roll, and next Sunday you ain't in the roll. You got to sign on, and you got to stay on. Paul said, this is the new life. This is what transformation looks like. How many of you ever seen transformed people? I mean, you can look at them and say, something going on right there. They don't tighten up a little bit, you know. They walk in different. They got this confidence. Got the head up. You know, people walk around with the head down. You can look at people and kind of see that something going on, can't you? See, something ain't right. Look, that's not normal. Then you see them again. Say, oh, they done bounced back. Now look at that. Got that pep in their step again. That's transformation. And Paul tells the church of Galatia, he said, this is what we're looking for. These are the new people in Christ. That's why when John stood out there on that aisle, looking over yonder, you know, yonder is that place, not quite where he is over there. He said, I saw a number. That no man could number. He was talking about what Paul was talking about. Yeah. He said, those are the new people in Christ. He said, there were so many of them. Couldn't count. Poor Jehovah Witnesses, I'm sorry. Y'all math is way off. It's more than 144,000.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
It was a number no man, John wasn't mistaken in that.
That's right.
You can count 144,000.
Yes,
you might need some help, but you can count them. John said it was a number no man could number. That's why I know if anybody make it, surely I will. Amen. And to the 80 of y'all that agree with me, thank you very much. The rest of y'all say what y'all want to say. We just declared, we just determined, we decided, we are delivered, he died, we going to make it. The rest of y'all be sitting there talking, I should have clapped that Sunday. And we in. And I told y'all, the Lord don't lie. Try him. Trust him. Sign on. Stay on. Getting by? Why you want to live beneath your privilege? You're the head and not the tail. Come on, look at yourself. I told you, get that mirror. Look at yourself. And say, I wasn't designed for this. I wasn't designed to be crying all the time and broke all the time and unhappy. You want to find somebody to love you like nobody else going to love you? Love you first. Amen. You can't spend the rest of your life trying to find somebody to complete you. God completed you. When you love you, you don't lower a standard. If you're going to find somebody to love you, make them love you like you love you. You don't treat yourself bad, do you? Amen. You don't lock yourself out the house. You don't not open the door for yourself. Teach them how to love you. Say, listen, you dealing with something special here. Fellas, you too. You know, sometimes we act like the women. No, fellas, don't cheat yourself. Say, get around here and open this door for me. That probably won't work too well. You might try something else. Tell her, watch you open the door. Watch how I open the door for me. Be like, mister, get over here and do me, Sealy. I don't know. You good thing Sugar Avery made it back to the house. That would be Mr. Last Scene in the movie. Would be, oops. No, but you got to love yourself. Because you shouldn't be just getting by. You are delivered. Don't let the enemy fool you. I just, this is where it's going to be. My whole family got bad luck. No. Your whole family need a Bible. You need a Bible. Let's stand on our feet. We're going to go. It's right at 1 o'clock. Amen. Now listen to me. Listen. There are three things I told you last week that I want you to remember. This is not about trying to be clever. It's not about trying to be cunning. And this is not a con job. I hope I told you that. If I didn't, I just did. Because see, we done turned the church into a gimmick factory. Don't be running behind these preachers with all these
con jobs and trying to be cunning and no, that ain't how God works. God is consistent. God builds confidence and gives you courage. You need those three. And every day you ought to check to make sure that you are within the consistency of God. In other words, you know, we're steadfast, making progress, and that you have confidence. I trust God. And then that you've got courage to fight, to face it. Can't be running around. I told him in Christian Academy this morning, ain't no runaway. Ain't nowhere to hide. You let God use you in every part of your life, and you're going to have a great life. But you need to get better. And if you're still doing church the way you did it when you was 15 and 16 years old and you 35 and 40, you're not getting better. If you're still doing church in June like you were doing in January, you're not getting better. You're just getting by. If you're still giving what you gave 4 years ago, you're not getting better. You still treat your husband or your wife the same way, you're not getting better. If your children are not getting better, you're just getting by. We don't want to live like that. Amen. There ought to be some visual signs. There ought to be some internal signs that you're getting better. You can't keep walking around getting by. That's not how God made you. Now, I said it last week, and everybody, well, most of you did. I think we only had a couple of people didn't buy in. But I said, you know, come on and let's pray together that we're going to get better. Well, we're going to finish up. We're going to do it one more time. If, in fact, today you have determined, you've made a decision, and you know you've been delivered, you won't get better. Come on, let's pray again. Let's celebrate that we're not going to just keep getting by. That we're going to get better. And you should have gotten better from last week. And this ain't about no, again, no cunning, no chicanery. This ain't no con job. Getting better is a process. It's going to take some time. It took you time to get messed up, didn't it? You weren't born messed up. I mean, you're born in sin, shaped in iniquity. But most of us, whatever we got into, it was a process. You know, we stuck our toe in first, and then we stuck a foot, and, you know, next thing you know, we were up our nose. We say, man, I got to get out of here. I'm tired of just surviving. I want to start thriving. I want to start living up to the full calling that's mine in Christ Jesus. I can be anything I want to be to God's glory. And that's what you got to decide. That I want my life to bring God a greater glory. Amen. I sat the other day. And a lot of you have probably been to graduation celebrations, but our young people, you know, and they're sitting there, and I sat there and thought about myself while I was sitting there. I was back in 1978, sitting in the auditorium, cap and gown, you know, waiting to move the tassel. And you know what I discovered? It takes more than just moving it from this side to that side. You got to do better. If you still doing what you did just to get out of high school, that's about as far as you've gone. And I thought of all that potential sitting out there. And I said to myself, I wonder, 20 years from now, what will some of their testimonies be? How many of them going to still be living in their mama house, waiting on mama to cook breakfast? How many of them going to still be driving mama car, mama paying their bills? And how many of them going to still be counting on somebody else? Because when you go from one bad situation to another situation, it's still just bad. But how many of them would have challenged themselves and more than that had faith in God to say, God, I'm available to use. I come back to my next reunion, they're going to be blown away. They're going to say, what? You did what? You own what? You preaching where? You in a choir? God God be glorified. And that's why you got to keep God first. We just getting by. Our church has got to stop just getting by. And you know, when the church is just getting by, it means the people are just getting by. Our God is greater. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Don't sing that song if that song ain't faithful. Remember, that's one of the points. Your song got to be faithful. And God can say, what you're singing, I see it in you. And so you got to get better. How do you get better, Pastor? Be more decisive. Eric, we've been started. You just getting here? Where you been, Demetri? You didn't bring him with you? Oh, okay. You got to be more decisive. So here's what you need to do. We're going to pray the points of the preaching. Going to pray through those and you'll be done. First of all, everyone has to be more decisive. Stop waffling. And stop waiting on other folk. Sometimes you got to run off and leave folk to give them something to catch up with. And sometimes after you leave them, you can go back and get them. That doesn't mean make a U-turn and stay where they at. But you got to show them that it can be done. Some of you have to be trendsetters, barrier breakers. Be the first. For some of you sisters, you're going to have to be stronger than your man. Don't humiliate him. Don't emasculate him. Don't break him down. Just show him, honey, we can do this. So if you have to be the one to go out first and build first and then go back and say, listen, come on, I'm going to show you what I did. And brothers, it's time for some brothers to be front runners again. For us to get out there and bring our girl along and bring our children and say, baby, it's hard, but we're going to make it. You're going to have a better husband, a better lover, a better friend, a better provider because I'm trying. I made up my mind that this year, and you don't have to wait till watch night. You can do it now. And we need to stop doing stuff like that. Trying to pick an ideal day to start. The day to start is today. At the end of the month, first of the month, I'm going to start my new diet. First of the month, I'm going to make a new change. First of the month. You got 29 more days to act the fool. No, start now. I'm going to be a better trustee, a better deacon, a better servant now. I'm not leaving this altar till I get my mind made up right for God. And then determination. Because why? It's a process. We're not leaving tomorrow. Well, we don't know. We might, but in lieu of the fact that we might not be leaving tomorrow, you got to be determined. For some of us, it'd be good if the Lord showed up right now. He going to catch us in the best place. Lord, found me in church. Thank you, Lord. You didn't come last night. You know, some of y'all got to say that. It was storming last night. You should have been home. But you got to be determined. And some folk going to try to change your mind. You ain't got to do all that. He done said that before. We done prayed that prayer before. Well, this time, my next starts now. And then you have been delivered. It may not look like it. You know, some of you may be still in some struggles. But there's a process to that too. It would be wonderful if we could just blink our eyes like I Dream a Genie or Samantha, twinkle our nose and something happens. But no, you've been delivered because it's the promise of the predestined life that's on you. You do know that all of you are predestined by God. God sees you in your delivered state before you even get there. I tell you, sometimes I feel God whispering in my ear, boy, if only you knew what I got next. How many of you are glad you lived long enough to get to another next? There were some stop points when you thought yourself, it's going to just end right here. But you kept going, and God showed you another next. Because you've been delivered. He said, I know the plans I have for you. And then this, he died. But he got up, didn't he? You know why? Because he was decisive. He was determined. And he knew his daddy would deliver. So it is for you too. So Father, in the name of Jesus, the hands that we hold, the heartbeats that we share, we're making up our minds right now to be more decisive, to be more sure, to be very confident. We want to start dealing in the absolutes, not the maybes. We're going to move beyond probability, beyond possibility, beyond proposed things. We're living now in promise. And promise requires a decision. When Joshua stood before the people, he said, y'all got to choose today. Today, choose now. And even when they chose, he said, you're not going to do it. You're not going to be determined enough. But Lord, we are. And so we want now, Lord, to reinvigorate, to revive, that you'll restore our determination, that we can hold fast to every promise and not renege on you. Make this a determined people. They are few in number, but there's a great God who is our God. And you can do so much with a few. And we're determined. And Lord, we celebrate the fact that we have been delivered from the old life, from the brokenness, from the bondage. God, you brought us out, and you brought us out good. We've been delivered. And the redeemed of the Lord must forever say so. And your death on the cross seal the deal. For we are told that the dead in Christ are going to rise. You paid it all. You didn't pay partially. You didn't just make a down payment. You didn't put it on layaway. You paid it all. And your death means we are better. We are in Christ. And we have this great cloud of witness that says yes. So help us to be decisive. The mind of Christ. Help us to be determined. Running on and seeing what the end will be. Help us to always celebrate our deliverance. For the old things have passed away. And we are new creations. In Christ Jesus. And we never will forget that you died for us. You died for us. We're going to get better. Everybody's not going to understand me trying to get better. Everybody may not help me. But I'm determined. I've decided I'm going to get better. My family will no longer suffer. My church won't suffer. The people I work with won't suffer. The people I come in and out from won't suffer because I'm going to be better. A change is coming over me that God would be glorified in my new life. And the redeemed of the Lord could hardly wait to say amen to that. God, amen to better. Amen to better. Amen to better. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. We're going to leave shortly. We'll give you about 15, 20 minutes to get yourself together. So right at about 1:30, Davis and I are going to be calling the roll. You want to go up to church with us today? We got a little time. We got to be there at about 3 o'clock, but we'll give it about 1:30. We're going to Pastor Cobb's anniversary. All of the choir folk.